Radio Prague News. Prime Minister Peter Nečas has expressed regret over the fall of the Slovak government. The deficit in public finances in 2011 should drop below 4% of GDP, according to the Czech Finance Ministry. And the Czech Republic is to reopen its embassy in Libya. Prime Minister Peter Nečas said at a press briefing in Prague on Wednesday the fall of the Slovak government over an EU bailout fund was bad news. The Czech cabinet has a close working relationship with Prime Minister Iveta Radičová's pro-reform government. In developments on Wednesday, three out of Slovakia's four centre-right coalition parties struck a deal with a left-wing opposition party, Smer, on support for the EU rescue fund in a repeat vote later this week, to be followed by early elections in March of next year. The deficit in Czech public finances in 2011 should drop below 4% of GDP, Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek told the Budgetary Committee of the Czech Lower House on Wednesday. Originally, the ministry had forecast a deficit of 4.6%, a projection later modified to 4.2%. The Czech National Bank has also forecast a deficit of 3.8% for this year. According to the ministry's long-term outlook, the 2012 deficit should drop to 3.5% and reach 2.9% the year after. The Czech Republic is sending members of the country's rapid deployment squad to protect the Czech embassy in Libya. Following a reconnaissance mission by a special team, the Czech Foreign Ministry on Wednesday approved Ambassador Josef Kotsky's return to Tripoli on Thursday. The special unit is to remain at the embassy for as long as necessary. The Czech Foreign Ministry also earmarked 4 million crowns from its aid fund for humanitarian aid for Libya. The government on Wednesday debated a report on the plight of the country's Romani minority, which for the most part lives in social exclusion. According to available statistics, there are around 400 slums in the Czech Republic with an estimated 80,000 inhabitants, predominantly Romanies. Prime Minister Nečas told reporters that the key to breaking the vicious circle of poverty, unemployment and social exclusion was to give Romani children equal opportunities in education and help them overcome cultural barriers. A Prague court has slapped a 40 million crown fine on the Czech Communist Party for cancelling a sales contract on one of its buildings in the city centre. The party put the building up for sale and signed a contract with the Italian firm Postere, but later changed its mind and scrapped the deal as disadvantageous. Party officials have not so far commented on the verdict. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be partly cloudy with rain in places and day temperatures between 8 and 12 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Pavla Horáková. Coming up today, is Czech and Slovak politicking a thorn in the side of EU consensus? The Czech national football team has secured an impressive victory over Lithuania. And in spotlight today, Teplá Abbey seeks to make a comeback in straitened circumstances. All that and more coming your way, so please stay tuned. Central European politicking took center stage in EU news on Tuesday as the Slovak parliament voted against expanding the EU bailout fund and took their government down with it. Meanwhile, the EU approved the ratification of the Czech opt-out to its Charter of Fundamental Rights, which was demanded by President Václav Klaus in 2009 as he steadfastly postponed his signing of the Lisbon Treaty. To many of Wednesday's political pundits, it seems the Czechs and Slovaks are making an art out of hijacking major EU votes to drive through their domestic agendas. Our reporter Christian Falvi asked Czech Social Democrat and Vice President of the European Parliament, Libor Rouček, what kind of impression these events have left in Brussels.
I don't think that we can connect both issues. the Czech opt-out, it's separate from what's going on in Slovakia, what's going on with the rescue package for the Eurozone.
But is there no sense of exasperation that both of these Central European countries take advantage of major votes concerning the EU to gain political capital?
Today, nobody is linking those two issues together because everybody is focusing on Slovakia, because that's the major issue. But if we take Slovakia, I think people understand that, you know, when we have a ratification, in this case in 17 countries, there always will be one or two countries where there will be some problem. So this time it happened that it's Slovakia. But also I think people understand, because they up till now they didn't understand the procedure. Now they understand the procedure. Okay, the Slovak government collapsed. There was a no vote to the rescue package linked to the future of the government. So the government collapsed. But then there will be a second vote on the rescue package. And the Slovak Social Democrats will create the majority.
Well, despite the fact that the vote was linked to a vote of no confidence, there at the same time, faith seems to have been shaken in Slovakia, at least in the Eurozone, to some extent. Will that have any broader effect, do you think, on confidence in the Eurozone elsewhere?
I hope not. It is clear that it's not the case only in Slovakia. We feel similar moods in Netherlands, in Finland, in other countries, because people, the public, they don't know actually what's going on. All they know is that more and more money is flowing to the rescue package, but they still don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. So again, more explanation what's going on is needed.
Lastly, regarding the Lisbon exemption again, do you feel like there's any sense of anxiety in the European Parliament when it comes to the Czech Republic having to vote on something like as important as the European Constitution, for example?
Yes, there is no anxiety yet, and I don't expect much anxiety, because what is important that these are two different documents, the accession treaty for Croatia and the Czech opt-out. Yes, it might be voted on both documents on the same day, but the votes will be separate. So nobody in the Czech Republic, no major political force in the Czech Republic, in Czech Parliament, is questioning the accession of Croatia. So everybody, including the Social Democrats, will say yes to accession of Croatia. But when it comes to the vote on Czech opt-out, so the Czech Senate has the power to block the entire opt-out. And my colleagues here in the Parliament, or I think the European public at large, we'll see that it's the Czech, that's up to the Czechs to decide. If they want opt-out, okay, you know, there will be opt-out. If not, the Czech Parliament will vote against and will kill the entire opt-out business.
The Vice President of the European Parliament, Libor Rouček, and he was talking there to Christian Falvi. The Czech national football squad secured an impressive 4-1 win over Lithuania on Tuesday, keeping alive the team's chances of reaching the European Championship next year in Poland and Ukraine. Despite receiving bad news shortly before the match that midfielder Tomasz Rosicki would not be able to play, the team displayed plenty of verve throughout the game and jumped to an early lead. Jan Wellinger has the story.
On Tuesday, it was do or die for the Czech football team in Kaunas, Lithuania. Win or risk losing the chance to qualify for the Euro 2012 playoff round. In Group I, the Czechs needed a better result than fellow contenders Scotland, who on Tuesday faced group winners Spain. Luckily for the Czechs, both games went their way. Spain dispatched the Scots 3-1, while the Czech national squad played its best game in months. Indeed, the match could hardly have gone better, especially with Rosický out with injury. In just the second minute of the first half, the Czechs were awarded a penalty kick that Michal Kadlec coolly converted. Jan Rezek, a bright addition to the national squad, added two more goals before half-time, and the Czechs were off and running. Any nervousness from previous games was quickly dispelled as the team created opportunity after opportunity. The first goal by Rezek, for example, came after Milan Baroš rang a shot off the post. There was also drama at the other end. It wasn't all the Czechs' game. Lithuania almost had the team dead of rights moments when Cernas in close fire to the corner, but was denied by Petr Cech. After the match, the goalie admitted that an equalizer at that point in the game could have changed things considerably. In the second half, the Czech squad slowed somewhat, not least after the team was reduced to 10 men. Hubník brought down Cernas in the area and was given a red card. He then converted, earning Lithuania at least a consolation goal. But before time, Gudlet scored one more for the Czechs on yet another penalty, and the game ended 4-1. Although the team can breathe a collective sigh of relief, a final hurdle, of course, remains: winning the playoff round to ultimately qualify for Euro 2012. The team's head coach, Michal Bílek, had this to say.
We are not there yet. I was given a job to do, and that was to get us to Euro 2012. We took a step closer to that by getting into the playoff. But if we don't go all the way, the effort will still be seen as a failure. We fulfilled part of the task, which was to finish second in our group, since we knew Spain was the clear favorite. We knew we would be fighting for second place, and we succeeded.
The head coach of the national squad there, Michal Bílek. Now, the Czech Republic will be among the seeded teams in Thursday's Euro 2012 playoff draw in Kiev. In the unseeded group are Turkey, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Montenegro, and Estonia. The two playoff games will take place in mid-November.
That report by Jan Wellinger. And now it's time for our regular feature spotlight. Chris Johnston visits the Teplá Abbey complex in West Bohemia.
The imposing Teplá Abbey complex is sited around a dozen miles from the spa town of Marianska Lázně in western Bohemia. Its story is one of an enterprising religious community that was the main force in developing the whole region. Its destruction under Nazism and then communism, and its tentative comeback today on the back of tourist income. History is a bit vague about the exact foundation of the abbey by the Czech nobleman Roznata. The date is sometimes given as 1192 or 1193, with the main document relating to its creation as a premonstration abbey from 1197. The premonstration order, based on simple living and pastoral work in the community, was an up-and-coming religious order at the time. According to legend, Horznata offered to found the abbey as compensation after he ducked out of taking part in the Second Crusade, apparently because he feared getting on board a ship after almost drowning during a swimming accident in his youth. Horznata bestowed most of his wealth on the abbey, but when he was kidnapped by his enemies and imprisoned in 1217, it refused to pay the ransom. They did, however, pay for his corpse after he was starved to death. The bones in an ornamental casket now occupy an honoured place in the Romanesque Gothic church. On what was a thinly populated, stony upland wilderness, the Teplá Highlands, the abbey started farms, mills, and even a mining business. At its height at the end of the 18th century, there were around 150 brothers in the abbey. Perhaps the most visible evidence of its enterprise today is the town of Marianska Lázně itself, created when the abbey decided to get into the physical wellness and spa business at the end of the 18th century. Jaromír Bartoš, director of the Marianska Lázně Town Museum, takes up the story.
Ten klášter Teplá vymyslel Marianské Lázně. Bratři udělali...
The Teplá Abbey thought up Marianska Lázně. The brothers were what you would call developers in today's terminology. They took a greenfield site in the middle of the woods and parcelled up the land and conceived of an urban development plan. Some of the land was sold to private developers, but they kept most of it for themselves. These were the sites of the spa buildings and the springs that drew visitors to Marianska Lázně. And these springs were managed by the abbey until the 20th century, when land reform took place after the creation of Czechoslovakia.
A small exhibition at the museum and booklet published this year traces the fruitful links between the abbey and Spa town. The booklet began to be put together to mark recognition of the abbey as a national landmark in 2008.
My jsme chtěli klášteru a vlastně bratřím, kteří tam žijí, trošku splatit.
We wanted in a way to pay back a bit of the debt that Mariánské Lázně has over the years to its founders, to the abbey and the brothers who live there. This is a modest booklet that recalls the special relations between the abbey and Mariánské Lázně. The abbey wasn't just the founder, but also the driving force in the development of the town, right up to the middle of the 19th century, when there was a shift in ownership.
Drobným majetkovým přesunům.
The abbey and its centerpiece twin-towered church is still an impressive complex, although a shadow of the economic and religious powerhouse it once was. The head of today's 15-strong community, five of whom live in the abbey and 10 in surrounding parishes, is Agustin Jan Kovacic. He explains how 7.5 centuries of activity was abruptly interrupted by the communist regime.
Řeholní život byl násilně zlikvidován v dubnu 1950.
The abbey's existence was violently interrupted in April 1950. The brothers were locked up. Young brothers were forced to serve in the army for 3 or 3.5 years and then jailed. The abbey itself was occupied by the army in September 1950. They lived here and the destruction of the complex began.
Devastace celého areálu.
Some of the damage was wanton, some just a result of incompetence, such as the destruction of the on-site brewery that had been making dark beer since the Middle Ages.
Veliteli vadil ve výhledu komín, tak ho nechal zbourat.
The commander was annoyed that the view was blocked by a chimney, so he decided to have it demolished. But they miscalculated the amount of explosive required for the job and used more than was needed. So they destroyed half the brewery and damaged the mill. Everything was razed to the ground and today it is just a field.
Pak to všechno strhli a splanírovali a dneska je tam louka.
The most lasting damage has been to the abbey's underground system of shafts which prevented damage from the Tepla River which runs underneath the buildings. These shafts were used by the armies as sewers and to dump rubbish, contributing to a destructive damp and wet rot problem that the abbey is still dealing with. One of the abbey's jewels, and a magnet for many of its around 43,000 visitors a year, is the monastic library. The collection was only saved from being split up when public uproar greeted the release of proposals to do that in the 1960s.
Tady ta knihovna je stará 100 let. Patří mezi...
The library building is just 100 years old, but the library collection is the second biggest monastical collection in the Czech Republic, after that of Strahov. There are 100,000 books. Most of them are theological, philosophical, science, history and literature about the apostles in Latin, Czech, German and other European languages.
Latina, Němčina, Čeština a ostatní evropské jazyky.
The order recovered the abbey in 1990 and some of the adjoining buildings, but almost nothing of the property taken by the communist regime. That was the beginning of a slow and painstaking struggle to restore the damage of the previous 4 decades. The order's demand for restoration of the 6,000 hectares of woods, 1,000 hectares of agricultural land and 300 hectares of fish ponds taken in 1948 is still unresolved and not looking likely to bear fruit in the near future. The order would like to get back the physical assets, though negotiators for the Catholic Church have been willing to settle for cash compensation. In the meantime, the abbey has had to rely on income from a steady stream of tourists, donations and help from the Central Premonstration Order to keep going and begin the repairs. In recent years, it has tapped into a richer vein, European Union cash backed up by complementary Czech regional funding. At the end of last year, the abbey was rewarded for 3 years of form filling with a grant of 500 million crowns, around $26.5 million. This will cover restoration of around half the main abbey complex. Work will involve restoring everything from the original underground drainage system to the roof. Some of the restored buildings will be turned into a regional cultural and education centre once the work is completed in 2015.
That edition of Spotlight, written and presented by Chris Johnston, was first broadcast in April 2010. We are now rounding off our regular weekday programme with a rerun of Soundcheck, our Czech language programme, brought to you by Jan Richter.
Hello and welcome to Sound Czech, Radio Prague's signature series, in which you can learn some interesting Czech phrases while listening to a song. Today we'll hear a modern cover version by the band Lucie of the 1933 song Klobouk ve křoví, or The Hat in the Bushes, originally composed for a theatre play by Jaroslav Ježek, Jiří Voskovec and Jan Verich. The phrase to listen for is Mít svízel. The Czech word svízel means difficulty or trouble. In this song, the phrase appears in the past form of jakou to měl svízel, what kind of trouble did he have? But this is only a secondary meaning of the word. Svízel is the name of a plant known in English as cleavers or sticky weed. Its leaves have fine hairs tipped with tiny hooks, making them cling to clothes, which is why it came to mean something that sticks to you, a problem, svízel. Klobouk ve křoví, or The Hat in the Bushes, is one of the most famous songs by the composer Jaroslav Ježek and the duo Jiří Voskovec and Jan Verich. These actors, playwrights and writers, formed an avant-garde theatre group in the early 1920s called Osvobozené divadlo, or Liberated Theatre. The song appeared in their 1933 play Osel a Stín, The Donkey and the Shadow, in which they warned of the dangers posed by the emerging dictatorships. The melancholic song Klobouk ve křoví is about an old hat lost in the bushes. The authors wonder whom it belonged to and what happened to its owner. Who disappeared in the desert, they wonder. Where did he come from and where did he go? What kind of trouble, svízel, did he have that he was walking in the desert alone? Have another listen. The phrase is typically used to express sentiments such as mám s tebou svízel, I have trouble with you, or potkala mě svízel, I got into trouble. Czechs also very often use the adjective svízelný, such as svízelná situace, or difficult situation. So wherever you are listening to Radio Prague, I hope you're facing no serious svízel. Goodbye.
That was Jan Richter with Soundcheck, wrapping up today's program on Radio Prague. Don't forget that this program is also available online at radio.cz. If you have any comments or questions, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or by post at Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2. For now, from me, Pavla Horáková, and the rest of the team at Radio Prague, thank for listening and goodbye.